I'm going to minister this morning on awakening up the Spirit of God. Awakening the Spirit of God in our lives. I believe with all of my heart that something so spiritual has been going on in the last few years, and that God is speaking. And we can ask the question, what is the will of God? Well, I believe that as a child of God and as seeing the goodness of God, can I understand that the most important thing that can happen in my life is to understand and to know the will of God? So I believe that some clarity is going to come today, because see, I told you, I preached the first week. I believe that God was going to do some supernatural things in this house. And you may have come in and said, well, I wonder what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it or what he's going to do, but God's been doing some things that is simply amazing in October. We may not know the results of that until we get down the road a little bit. But there are some things that God has been doing. The will of God is that no one would die without knowing him as their redeemer. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he loved so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I and the nations would have an opportunity to receive Jesus into their lives. So I believe that the Spirit of God has brought an awakening into Solid Rock. I believe that we're waking up to the will of God in our personal lives, but we're waking up to the will of God as a church together. I believe that you and your home, your family, should be waking up to the fact that God has a will, a plan for you as a family, your teenagers, your juniors. I tell you what, they can preach a message, tell a message that has not been told to someone. They can tell that in their way through their life and be history changers. I believe that something very powerful is happening here. Some of you may remember all the way back to 2018. Some of you were not here. But I want to talk about for a minute the power of the word. The words that we speak out of our mouth, there's so much power in it. Pastor and I, along with the pastoral staff, we read proclamations of the Lord over this house and over every life in this house. And maybe a couple years ago, we did this again. We at least read them. But the powerful words that are in this proclamation, it began to propel us as a church. Some may say, well, I can't tell any difference, because there's been battle after battle after battle after battle. And it's like, I heard the word, but you know, when's it coming or what? Just a few short weeks after this proclamation, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. Went through a double mastectomy, the whole 9 yards. It took about a year. But I went in from 2017 and I went into 2018. I was so excited for 2018 because 2017 had been very, very hard in many ways. And so at the time that we were making these proclamations, attendance was low, finances were low, attacks from the outside, even tried a few times to get inside, but mostly just outside. But our prayer life began to change as a church. I just want to say a few of these real quick. And if you would like some of these decrees, you want a copy, we'll get you a copy, because I'm telling you what, I have already seen some things that were put into motion in the second Sunday of 2018. God tells us in His Word, and we know this, that there is power that is in this tongue. It's life and it's death. And so I believe that we begin to try our very best to speak out of our mouth better. I believe that we began to understand that declarations, the Word of God, is a vehicle that comes out of our mouth and goes into the atmosphere. And I believe with all of my heart that in January 2018, those words, as they came out, begin to go to work. What is comes out of your mouth, good or bad, it goes to work. And if we don't like what we're experiencing, then let's get the Word of God going out, because words matter. Job 22:18 said, "You shall decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee." I'm not going to read all this, just lines. Pastor Kramer, he said, "We declare that prodigal children will come back to their parents and come back to God. And we declare as parents that our children will grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Christy says, "We declare our relationships will get stronger and healthier. Whatever's been separated, we will see God supernaturally put back together." That was in motion in 2018. 6 years ago. Do you know what? We're almost in the seventh, and when we get there, that's a completion. That's what I think. That's what I believe. We declare that what God has put together, no man or woman shall separate. Amen. Missy declared, "This year will be, you will seek God first." We'll commit our ways and our goals to Him. We will receive His supernatural wisdom. Do you ever pray, "God, give me wisdom"? He said, "If you'll ask me, I'll give you wisdom liberally, full of good fruit." In other words, if I ask Him wisdom, then the good fruit is going to help me walk in kindness and joy and peace. So that as these situations come up, I have the wisdom of God operating in me. How can you be wise at 12 years old? You begin to find out what the Word of God says, and then you begin to speak the Word of God over situations. Oh, so much here. Luke, "I declare promotions, raises, debt cancellation, supernatural provision in every family at Solid Rock Family Church. God will rebuke the devourer for our sake." Huh. Well, it's good. Dara, "I declare that this will be a year of rest, peace, and restoration for all those who have lost loved ones. The Holy Spirit is walking beside you. This is the year." Sarah, "Declare that our students are going to thrive and flourish in whatever they set their hand to do. We declare that they're going to finish better than they expected. They're going to have right relationships, right teachers. God's going to give them supernatural favor in all areas. They're going to have the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world, not the mind of everything that they look at. They're going to be shining lights." Alex, "I declare freedom from addictions, freedom from strongholds in the name of Jesus. Peace being restored, lives being redeemed." Darlene Rose. Oh, Tiffany. "I declare impossible breakthroughs, surprise victories, sudden deliverances, breakthrough healings." I declare that your family walks in healing, power, and blessings. Curses are broken. And I declare that your mouth is open with songs of praise. Your feet are dancing. And your soul is on fire. Those words are still out there. Those words are still out there. Don't you dare go pulling them back. Well, let's don't do it with our negative actions and say, oh God, you did you say that? Darlene Rose, this is one of the things I said. I said, the journey's been long. The circumstance is difficult. But know this is the Lord, and he's raising you up in this hour. We decree wisdom and knowledge, and you will impart. What you impart will be accepted by all others. Doors will open. You will gain audience with people that wouldn't talk to you. People that ignored you and put you down. There's a shift required in your thinking. It's no longer you, but Christ that lives. This is good stuff, but I got to move on. The Spirit of God is touching all those who are in your assigned region or sphere of influence. I believe those powerful words, as I said a while ago, they begin to propel us as a church. In 2017, I heard one word from the Lord. I'm just pretty well going to talk to you from my heart because this notes and all, this is useless this morning. But I believe that the word that was spoken, I can now see. But in January of 2017, I heard one word, and it was repositioning. It was like, reposition, what does that mean? And I really looked into that, and it's like, God, I don't understand, but okay, yes, Lord. Because your first thing is, God, you moving us? You know, or repositioning. You know, we go through, we try to find out what God's saying, but sometimes God will give us a word and we just wait and see what he says, right? But after these words were spoken here, and I told you where we were at, but something that happened was the prayer. We began to pray like we'd never prayed before as a church. And I can report today that Solid Rock is praying together more than I have ever seen it or been able to experience it on a regular basis. It's the most beautiful thing. So I encourage you to come as many prayer services as you can on Saturday morning. This coming Saturday, the worship team will be here. It doesn't matter if there's only 5 or 6 prayer warriors. They're going to be here. And they're going to be worshiping. And we're going to be praying. So I encourage you. Do we want to see the will of God, that awakening, that he is awakening us up to his presence? Awakening us to his will? I encourage you to come because prayer has. And it's changing this church. Prayer that is genuine, that is humble before God. It's changing homes. And it's changing us. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Boy, we got a big commission. We got a big call of God. As we all know, after these declarations and all, and life is moving on, COVID came, settled in, and that was different. That was something new that we hadn't experienced before. But God began to show us that he was more, had more than one brook, one way of taking care of his people. God has rivers of living water. In fact, he has wells that he was waiting for you and for me, for us as a church to tap into. See, there's a well for every individual that's in here. What is it that you need? What is it that you're asking God for? What is it that you're believing? There is a well that is ready for you. Talk about that in just a moment, because the water supply from God will never dry up. It'll never go away. It's always full. In fact, I believe that He has wells that we have never tapped into yet. Wells that will be right in front of you, and you'll walk right into it and you'll see it. Because you begin to pray, you begin to read the word, and then you begin to say, thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Because see, things happened in COVID in this church that turned this church around. The most amazing thing, because we shared something that was very different than we had ever shared before. And God began to show us that in the land of famine, that He had more than enough. Do you know that this church changed financially during COVID 20 and 21? Totally changed. Almost doubled from the years before. Totally unbelievable, except not, right? I want to just mention real quickly about the word repositioning, because it means to change positions of. It means to shift. It means to nudge. I believe the Spirit of God's been nudging us to take a different posture than we had before. It means to disturb. Maybe all that disturbance you felt hasn't all been the enemy. Maybe some of that is the Spirit of God is nudging you to get you to ask me. Talk to me about it. Talk to me about it. I want to know. I want to hear your words come out of your mouth. I want you to make your needs known to me. And then I want my word, because you're going to read my words and you're going to say, I thank you, God, that you have provision for my family when I can't see it or when it seems like I'm down for the last time. But now I can see. I'll get back up because I know that you've got a way. When God speaks a word, we need to learn to grab a hold of it. Don't take it lightly. But when God speaks, let's hold on to it, because His plan is so good. I know, and you know, and you've heard it so many times, when the enemy comes and he brings evil, what the enemy meant for bad and for our destruction, we got to get ready. And we need to make way for the presence of God. Can I say that one more time? What the enemy has meant for bad for your life, for your marriage, for your son, your daughter that's out there, for unity in your home, so you treat each other better and right. First of all, you have to have that shift, that change inside of you. Get it into your head. And what do you get into your head? Sometimes it's hard to overcome, but as we begin to speak the words of life over our family, things are changing. Change that comes is designed to help us to grow. Everything, every hard thing that you go through should be a growth spurt for you. Everything. Because the enemy meant to take you out, but God says, I meant to grow you up. I want you to use it and let it grow you up. Let it be a time where you see that God's trying to change some of my actions, my attitudes, changing my heart, so I'll learn not to be bitter. That I won't be so mouthy. If I'm going to mouth, let me mouth with the Spirit of God, with the words of God. If I will mouth the word of God in my home, over my husband, over my grandson, over my dog, if we will learn to speak words of life out of our mouth, we will reap the harvest of it. We just will. Moving on along. We as a church, we caught on to something that was much bigger than us. We've always loved missions. We've always loved the world. But God not only did it for Pastor Daryl and I, for our staff, God has given a vision for the world to this church. We have become more than a church that housed just women around the world. And we thank God that Solid Rock, oh, we have our haters out there that come against WAW. Crazy people. A good God. But Solid Rock covers us. We come under the covering of Solid Rock. And look what God has done. He's done it as a mission, not just WAW, which is a powerful mission. I'm going to share just a little bit about that with you. But our vision began to grow stronger, stronger. And we could see more plain. And we begin to see it happening in this church. God has allowed us as a church to finish a new church that they were building in Republic of Georgia. And we are helping right now financially for them to their building have a brand new congregation for Georgian people in New York. Solid Rock, we're involved. John 17:18 says these words, just as I sent, as you sent me, Jesus was saying to his Father, as you sent me, I send them into the world. We're all sent to the world. We're all sent to the world. This is the last tag on missions month, but not the last mission at all. Jesus, he was sent to heal and bring restoration to the broken. Remember, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. It's one of the first things that Pastor and I, because we were so broken, but we knew Jesus came to heal us. He sent us now. He sent you to heal broken people. Because they're everywhere. Everywhere wanting the presence of God. They don't know what they want sometimes, but they want the presence of God. It's the only thing that will fulfill them. But let me just go through a little bit here with you. Monthly, every month, WAW supports red carpet in Israel. Every month, we support Jay and I. You know who they are. Every month, we support Cote from the Republic of Georgia. Every month, WAW. I'm talking about WAW. See, I learned something a long time ago. If I keep it all in WAW and don't plant any seed. Do you know why we're doing what we're doing right now? I'm a seed planter. My girls are seed planters. This church are seed planters. It'd blow your mind if you can see all the figures of what God's done with this little church around the world. We send monthly to Jamaica and Haiti, the Colemans. Send monthly. WAW sends monthly to Myanmar. To Nini and that little group of women that they have. All these are $100 a month if you want to know every one of them. Now, Solid Rock, this is what Solid Rock supports monthly. Y'all enjoying this little talk? Finding out stuff? I would have really liked to preach this morning, but some people may not like women preachers, so I don't know that I do either. No, I'm just teasing. I really didn't know if I believed in women preachers. But oh, am I glad that he didn't let me decide what I... All he wanted was a yes out of me. W.A.W. has given out, and I'm being very conservative here. Think about it. No, I'm going to go Solid Rock just a minute. I missed something. W.A.W. has given out in books 10,000 copies. Maybe many more. We could probably say 12,000. I was very conservative on my numbers when I began. I just was like, whoa, God. And that, just in the book alone, between 40 and 50,000. I don't know how God does that. I don't know how he supplies that. I don't have that in my bank account. If I did, I'd do it. Oh, it'd be twice that much if I had it. I have a problem. I love to give. And God, but he supports my habit. He really does. He does. Okay. Solid Rock supports every month Jamaica and Haiti, the Comans, Israel, Jay and I, Republic of Georgia, Cote, and Uganda, Pastor Drake, Cannibal Church and Orphanage. But see, our missions aren't just overseas or just in our hometown. Solid Rock also supports Southern Missouri Campground and camp projects because we believe in it. Our kids, it's changing and turning their lives around. Solid Rock is involved in Convoy of Hope. Solid Rock is involved in going and loving on and ministering to the teachers at Lincoln School. Do you know that when we come in many times, they, tears will come in their eyes and we begin to talk to them. They begin to tell us that we are a light that comes into a thing that is very hard. People need love and they will say we've never felt such love as we feel from the group of Solid Rock. Solid Rock involved in disaster relief. Pentecostal Church of God has a great, great program. When there's tornadoes and things that happen, they go immediately in the States. We also support Franklin Graham. Now, why don't you give yourselves a hand clap, appreciation, and honor to God to allow us to be involved in something that is so much bigger than we are. Isn't that something that God will allow us to reach out? It doesn't matter to him how big or how small we may think we are. It matters how many times we will say yes. You say, you know, it may be easy for you because you go everywhere, you've done this and that. May I just let you in on a little secret? I didn't sign up to follow Jesus to be a professional speaker because I knew I wasn't educated. I wasn't smart enough. Those were all my excuses. I didn't sign up to be a pastor or a pastor's wife. I didn't sign up to be a world traveler. I didn't sign up to be an author of a book, a simple book that God would take and use like he's used. I just fell in love with Jesus. That's what I did. I fell in love with Jesus. And I am amazed at what he has allowed and gifted me to do because it just it just blows me away. I'm excited about the generations around us. I'm so excited about our children's ministry. I'm so excited about our teens. I'm so excited about what God is doing in their life and how He is raising them up. I believe with all of my heart, He is raising them up. And He's going to use them. I don't care how much trouble that child is giving you. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up. You keep the word going in them because God says, I didn't make any mistakes. Amen. I created them for my purpose and my use. I brought them from where they were to you. They're gifts. And I believe that they're going to rise up with an anointing that is going to astound this church. Sure. Not only astound this church, it's going to astound this area. I believe with all of my heart, we're going to have some little preachers that are going to come up about 12, 13 years old, and they're going to begin to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's going to be some young men and women that are going to be bold, and they're going to begin to speak out of their mouth to a generation that they can reach. One of the things that I love, and I'm not a big anything on social media, but there was three teenage boys. They may be 20. No, I think they're still teenagers, but I follow them. They're on every day, and they will start off with a scripture. They one scripture verse. And then the next one will take up and they'll talk about that scripture. And then the third one will come in. They're all like 30-second clips. By the time they get done, they are leading people to Jesus. And they're telling people that Jesus has an answer. And all you got to do is ask Him. So I believe in my heart that God is putting out a call. I didn't know the young ones were going to be down here today, but I'm glad they are. Because there's calls on your life, and I know that the devil pulls and tells you this and tells you that, but you're smart enough to look around and see those that have been listening to the devil and what's happening in their lives. Come on, be a generation that decides to follow truth instead of a crowd. Amen?
Amen.
Holy, holy. You are holy. Don't you love the way Jesus interrupts things? I love when He interrupts. Krista was sitting right over there one Sunday morning, and the Spirit of the Lord stopped and said, Krista, God's getting ready to surprise you. Things are totally going to change and turn your life around. And that was 2 years before she ever ended up there. But she received the word. She didn't know how God was going to do it, but God did it. In Luke chapter 4, verse 11, there's a story of when Jesus was on His way to a funeral. And the widow had lost her son. And He looked and He was moved with compassion. So many of us have lost a lot in the last couple years, 3 years. We've lost a lot. Our hearts have been broken. Not understanding how we can go on from where we're at. But Jesus was moved with compassion. He is moved with compassion for every one of us sitting in this house. And all those that's listening online, those that are sitting in their homes. Jesus was on His way. He was interrupted. God says, can I interrupt your life enough that you can look and see and have compassion and stop and say, can I pray for you? Jesus served by example. He was moved with compassion. He spoke comfort to her, and he raised the son up from the dead. I believe that our juniors are going to lay hands on the sick, and they're going to recover. They're going to pray little simple prayers, and God's going to do things, and their faith is going to rise, and they're going to begin to see that God wants to use them in this generation, in this time right now. I can see them telling others about the man and what he's done for their life. We're moving on here. One of the things that has changed for Solid Rock in 2022, I preached a message on the spirit of generosity in the house. God is already doing wonderful things. And I believe that that spirit hit this house. I believe it hit our homes. I believe it hit our children. When your children can learn how to tithe when they're just a child. Parents, you're failing your children if you're not teaching them how to tithe. And if you're not tithing, you can't teach them something you don't do. And you say, all you want is my money. No, we don't. God don't need it either. God's got plenty of supply. I want you free. We want you free. Our confession should be, God gives to me liberally, and I lack for nothing. When the Israelites, when they left Egypt, remember the story. They left with their hands full of goods from the Egyptians because the generosity and the favor of God. See, the favor of God is on our lives. The favor of God is on your life. We declare it. We decree it to be so. You have to hook up with it. You have to believe it. But if you do, then you'll begin to see in Exodus 3, 21, 22, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptian, and it shall be when you go, you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, for articles of silver, gold, clothing. And you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So you shall plunder the Egyptians. And some people say, why in the world were they doing that to the Egyptians? Well, because the Egyptians had been causing all kinds of trouble. And God says, it's enough. When God steps in to a situation that is going over and over and over, and God says, it's enough, the favor of the Lord will flood in over your life. Just a couple more scriptures here. Paul speaks to us, Acts 20, and this is out of the Message Bible. There's another urgency before me. I feel compelled to go to Jerusalem. I'm completely in the dark about what will happen when I get there. I do not know that. I do know that it won't be any picnic, for the Holy Spirit has let me know repeatedly. And clearly, there are hard times and there are imprisonment ahead. But little, that matters little. What matters to me is to finish what God started. It matters that we finish what God started. God gave you some children. He gave you something. Don't quit on them. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on your relationships. Don't stop. The job the Master Jesus gave me to letting everyone I meet know about this incredible, extravagant generosity of God. Paul recognized, even though all these other things were going on, he recognized the generosity and the favor of God, because Paul also knew that he described himself as the chiefest of sinners. Our God's a generous God. We have the promise of our generous God that as gross darkness covers this earth, and it seems like it's getting darker and darker, but the glory of the Lord His presence when we come together. It will lift every dark place that's trying to evade your life. If you feel like there's a lot of darkness around, in the presence of the Lord, that will leave. Listen carefully to what I'm saying and be wary of the shrewd advice that tells you how to get ahead in the world of your own. That's Mark 4, 24, 25. Giving, not getting, is the way. See, God has a good plan. Giving, not getting. I get excited when I get to give. I get really excited about it. I really do. Because it, the release, God can do so much. God can do so much when we release. Giving will get you out of poverty because generosity begets generosity. Stinginess impoverishes us. Is it hard for you to turn loose of something? I have a few things I get stingy about. I love clothes and shoes, in case no one noticed. I really do. A lot. But when I clean out my closets, I pray. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. Because there's people that could use the clothes that I have. And I can't tell you I get it right all the time, because sometimes I haven't worn that thing for 4 years, but I put it back in the closet. It's a walk. But you just wait till it gets to that place that all I need is 10 minutes to pack my suitcase, and my husband will be shouting for the, probably in the heels of glory, honestly. May I just tell you this morning that if you're not giving, you're not living. It's a fact. Yep. Because Jesus came to us to live life abundantly. I want you to stand to your feet. When we live a life of generosity, it turns us around. One of the things that some of you may say, well, I'm generous, but what can stop the flow of God in our life? Luke 6, 37, 38 says, don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures. Don't criticize their faults. Now, do you do that? Do you do it with your husband? Do you do it with your wife? Do you do it with your grandparents? Do you do it with your parents? Where else? Never mind. What do you say? Oh, you don't want them to criticize you? Oh. Don't pick on your pastor. It's like this. I'd rather you pick on me than him, because I do okay with mine, but when somebody picks on him, I don't know what it is. But I step in. Those are times when my mouth isn't as good as it should be. But anyway. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their fault. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. You want people to pick on you? Kids, do you want people to pick on you? Do you want somebody to jump on every failure? Is that what you teenagers want? Do you want everything that you do, they criticizing you? Is that what you want? Don't condemn those that are down. I love this part of it. That hardness can boomerang. And when it gets you, it might get you right where you don't want it to. Be careful what we criticize. I believe that everybody here today, we could all say, you know what? I need to step back a little bit. Because the word of the Lord has gone out. The word of the Lord has gone forth. The declarations, they haven't changed. They're already out here in the atmosphere, and God's doing it. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give your life, give away your life, and you'll be given life back. Not just given back, but with bonus and blessings. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. There was a story in the Word of God that I'm going to share real quickly. But we've been praying and believing God for revival. We've been praying and believing for His outpouring. We've been praying and believing for a supernatural anointing. See, after the day of Pentecost, there were people being saved. There were people that were being filled with the Holy Spirit. But also something else happened, and it was a revival of giving. Take you back a little walk. God repositioned us as a church for number one. And as He repositioned, He asked us questions of, what do you see? Do you see lack everywhere you turn? Do you see trouble? Do you see those that don't like you? Do you see that the crowd is low? There's too many seats that are empty. What was it that you saw? And then what could you hear? What did you hear? Did you hear groanings and moanings out of your own mouth or somebody that you know that you talk to? Or did you hear the abundance of rain of the Spirit coming into your home, into your life, into your church? I believe that He can turn graves into gardens. Do you?
Yes.
I believe that He can take that big sea of impossibilities. And I believe that He can make the waters stand up so we can get on over to the other side without being drowned. The Word of God says that we didn't get drowned. We didn't get pulled under and drowned because we kept on going. I believe that there is nothing that our God cannot do.
Amen.
Nothing that our God can't do. Some may feel like nothing that you're doing is prospering. You want to be more generous, but you have a fear. Do you know that there's a fear that causes us to be stingy? Fear is not of God. Fear is one of the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. Because you fear, if I give or I do, if I tithe, what if I don't have enough? What if we can't pay our bills? God says, trust me. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you to something. There's a beautiful story in Genesis 26 about a man named Isaac. It was a famine, and God told him to stay. See, sometimes we just want to run. You've probably had your running shoes on several times, and sometimes you've just really tied them tight, only to God nudging you a little bit, and you've had to take those shoes off, put them back in the closet. Isaac did well. He stayed where God told him to, and God prospered him. His father, you've heard this story many times, but it really goes with this. His father Abraham had left some wells, and they had been filled up over time with debris because the wells were unkempt. Nobody took care of them. So he decides that he's going to dig the wells again. Today, we're making decisions. There were proclamations that were made in 2018. And a couple of years later, proclamations of the word of the Lord that want to work for you, want to work for all of us. So Isaac sets out to those wells. See, there's wells of living water that God wants us to drink out of. There's wells that will not run dry. He has more than a brook. He has wells. He has rivers of supply. But He wants us to unblock the wells. The first one, He named it Esek, which means the well of contention and strife. Every time you start to do something for God, then here comes the enemy. And you, just about the time you feel like you're getting that spring up, oh well, within my soul, there's something that gets thrown back in that well. Debris gets in there. The enemy comes and he stirs trouble up in our lives. So Isaac packs up and he moves on. He moves to another place. And his servants dig again, and they find fresh water. But oh, here comes the herdsmen. Then they're quarreling, saying, that water belongs to us. The enemy, he'll say, oh, no, you're not going to get to that person because I've got them too bound up. They're not going to listen to you. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaac calls the second well, Sitna, a well of hatred. Guard your heart with diligence. Don't let any hatred of what somebody is doing to you or has done to you, let's get rid of it out of our hearts, because it will keep the well all plugged up and the fresh water will be gone. I haven't felt God forever. What's wrong with me? I would say probably nothing. He just wants you to walk by faith. You may not feel him, but he's still there. But could it be that you got something in your heart that you're not getting rid of? Unforgiveness. Isaac moves on. And so he went to the next place, the fourth one, third one. And it's Rehoboth. Well, he was determined. Those were wells that Daddy had dug out because he cared about this land. He cared. He wanted people to have water to drink. He wanted them to be able to water their camels. He wanted them to be able to live a good life. But the enemy comes in so many times in family. We look back at our families and we see where the wells had debris in them, had things that were never cleared out. We're acting in ways that we didn't want to act. We're doing things that we vowed we'd never do. But God says, I want to get that well of hatred out of you. Rehoboth. The name means well of room. Keep on digging. Keep on digging and make a room for the presence of God. Make a room for the presence of God. Get on your knees. Get in your closet. Get in your car. Take a walk. Whatever it is, get with God. Making room for the presence of God. God wants to restore everything that the enemy has been throwing at you. When he got to number four, Sheba, he dug again, and it was a well of covenant. That's where we're at. We're at the well of covenant with God. Do you know that his enemy saw that he was blessed? And even his enemies come and made a covenant with him so they could live in peace. Because see, the enemy that is tormenting you, he's not at peace. Do we understand that the enemy that brings fear, he's afraid you won't take that fear? Do we understand that the enemy that is taking, putting thoughts in your head that are not right, that's because the enemy doesn't want you to live victorious? I don't know what has gotten in your well, but we can't let the enemy keep putting dirt of hurt and bitterness and fear and anger, intimidations, jealousy, strife, family problems, unforgiveness, because the enemy has had our stuff way too long, and God wants to get it back. We can. We are. Because our positions have changed, right? We have picked up our shovels. And we are determined that no matter how many times we have to start over, we're not going to quit. We're going to do one shovel at a time. We've moved to that place of praise. See, you all bless God this morning. It's so beautiful for us to look out here and see you worshiping God. I mean, like really getting in it. You don't care about what's going on around you. You're here to worship Him. When we do that, when we pray, when we worship, when we hear the Word of God, when God speaks, we speak what God speaks. I would encourage you to read Isaac's story here. He got to the place that there was joy and laughter. His name means joy. He had to get past contention and strife, because that's where God's blessings are. There was a group, you've heard me tell this, probably if you've listened to me preach very often. There's a group that went to Peru to dig a well for a community. They dug the first well. They got contaminated water. They dug the second well. They got contaminated water. They dug the third well, and they got contaminated water. They dug the fourth well, and they got no water at all. So after many days, this group, they packed up and they prepared to leave. They were tired. They were depressed. They were discouraged. They tried to get in the truck to leave the compound. Sometimes we dig, we dig, we dig. We try, we try, we try. Sometimes we get a little something, but we find out it's really not what we need. It's contaminated. So they were going to go home. And I say this like the Spirit of God tugging. They tried to get in the truck to leave the community. The people, they got around and they blocked the way. Thank you, God, for the prayer warriors. Thank you for the prayer warriors that will surround us. Thank you, God, for the prayer warriors that won't let us quit. Thank you for the prayer warriors that says, oh, no, devil. Uh-uh. No, we're going to try again. We're going to go one more time. You just cannot get out. You can't leave. They pleaded and they begged for them to stay. And they were like, we're sorry. We've tried all this. We did everything we could. And they said, no, you cannot leave, because God promised us a well. You told us you would dig us a well. They were desperate. Oh, church, let's get desperate. Let's surround each other. Let's get desperate for those breakthroughs. Let's get desperate that we can see the hand of God move and change things in our life that we cannot get changed or moved. These people would walk for miles to get a bucket of water for their families. And they refused to let their hope leave. God's looking for people that's not going to let their hope leave. The tired, weary team had no choice but to try again. Just one more. Do you know what has kept Pastor and I here? You. Because if we gave up in those times where the wells just kept getting debris in them, it got bad, it got contaminated and stinky. You know what's kept you with your family when it wasn't fair? Because if you left, you'd hurt a lot of people. If you left out of God's timing, it would affect your children and your grandchildren and the children to come. So this weary team, they had no choice. These pleading people were depending on them. Sometimes Sarah, Krista, all of the teachers, they don't always feel like corralling those kids. But they refused to give up, because those kids are worth it. They need the well. They need the well. They dug one more time. God's saying, will you dig one more time? Will you dig again? Will you believe God for bigger things, better things? Would you put your vision? Will you cast it out? Will you stretch out that stake on that tent just a little bit farther? Will you make a little more room for the presence of God? Will you be willing to say, I might not have been right about that? A humble heart don't have to have its way because it may not know everything. I don't know where that came from. It took a lot of faith to dig again, but it was the best water they had ever tasted. And this was a group that had dug many, many wells. So we can't be afraid to try again. How can I clean my well? Praise, worship, determination, forgiveness. God is stretching us. He's saying, dream bigger. You got dreams. Don't let the setbacks keep you from your dream. Just dig another well. And I know you may not even want to hear that. But it ain't over yet. God is raising up a generous church. A church that is going to reach out to tell the most generous story of all. That's what Pastor and I do. That's what we do in the women's conference. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would call upon his name and believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father shall be saved. May I challenge you to pray more, worship more, and give more. 2025, can we set our heights just a little bit higher? Can we do a little more? Do a little more. Because we can touch more if we do a little more. Enlarge. Isaiah 54:2. Blake, can you just pull that up, please? Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Ha ha. Enlarge your house. Enlarge your mind. More word. Build an addition. Church, maybe it's time to build soon. Build an addition. Spread out your home and spare no expense. We have an extravagant God, don't we? I mean, he don't think small. He thinks big. Enlarge means open wide, roomy, extend, grow wide, spread out, stretch out. That's what we're going to do. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to just share one more time, one more message, Father, about your commission. Because, God, you've given us the greatest commission that we could ever have as individuals to go tell someone about Jesus. The power of our testimony. And God, I pray for those maybe that are in this house today and they feel like every time they try, they get knocked back down. But I pray, oh God, that faith will rise within them and that they will dig the debris out of that well of their thinking, out of that well of human knowledge. They will take the shovel and dig deep on unforgiveness. Thank you, Father.